were thinking about them. Some of them, maybe because they were thinking how long the lesson was going to be, and others probably thinking both. Supposed to turn green. We talked this morning in class about edification, and I got to thinking about how can I, being up here this morning, what can I do to help edify us as we go through the rest of this lesson this morning. And so, in the probable words of Henry VIII to his wives, "I won't keep you long." And for those who don't understand that, get with me later. I want to talk this morning about overcoming a sinful nature. Things that happen and occur to us that go through our lives that we can become addicted to. When we read in the Bible, we see and we are reminded that sin that sin is convicted in us, that we are convicted of sin, and that our sins separate us from God. The Bible employs a lot of graphic words and terminology stating that we are enemies, children of the devil, under his unquenchable wrath and destined for hell. And there's nothing we can do in of ourselves to change that reality, but yet we are very lucky enough that Christ came and took that penalty that we deserve. He shed his blood to purchase our salvation, remove all sin, bring complete forgiveness, and reconcile us to God, adopted us into his family, empowered us by his grace, and promised us citizenship in heaven. A lot of the items that are on this board are not sinful in of themselves, and I actually put them on this board to save time because I was going to read them later, so we're saving time here. But as you look at the board, and you look, and this is by no means an inclusive list of all the things that we can let and allow to govern our life, we can see that there's a lot of things on there that are actually good and help us. I would reckon to say that probably over half of us have already taken some kind of drug today. I know I have. I have to take my old person pills and whatever. But when they're abused, they become an issue. Going back to Christ, if Jesus has purchased for us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, as he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and has given us his peace and his joy, as we see in John 14, 27. Why are there so many people not experiencing these blessings and this joy? We've already been granted everything pertaining to life and godliness, as we see in 2 Peter 1, verse 3. So what's keeping us from the enjoyment of these blessings? Why do we keep searching for purposes under different guises? What's happening with our life that causes us to put something else first? There could be several reasons. But what we're going to talk tonight or today about is what I call life-dominating sins. They control, they rule, they dominate, and enslave us. Jesus came to liberate us from being captive to this type of life. A sinful nature will dominate our life, and it will lead us away from God. And anything that leads us away from God is wrong. Normally, whenever we think of addictions, we think of the first thing, the junkie on the street, the alcoholic, chain smoker, the compulsive gambler. And somehow the world, not just Christians, but the world seems to somehow group these into an area that they think, this is bad. I'm glad I'm not doing that. But take a look at this list again and ask yourselves, are we doing that? Now, my dad would look at this list just like Mr. Jim Smeltzer did earlier and pick one of the items. And my dad, whenever a preacher had got up and talked about eating, overeating and whatever, one time my dad told the preacher later on, he said, you done quit preaching and went to meddling. And Jim told me that about chocolate. And there's a lot of people that probably like chocolate. And like we said, in of itself, there's nothing wrong with these things. But I think we all understand what I'm talking about is whenever these things are abused, when these things get to the point to where we can't do without them. That's what we think about. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So we can see that we can allow things to come into our life that takes ourselves away from God. It becomes an obsession. And then it becomes a compulsion, a behavior that acts out on that obsession. It could be chemically based. It could be emotionally based, behaviorally based. But addiction isn't a disease. A lot of times, there's a lot of things in this life that people say are diseases now. You can't catch addiction. You can't get up next to an addict and stuff, and all of a sudden, you caught addiction. It's something that we allow to draw us away from God. Anything that gives us a greater dependence than our dependence on God is not trustworthy. And we're not trusting in the sufficiency of Christ. Ask these questions. And these, like I said, this is not an inclusive list. But is there anything that you believe that you really need, can't do without? Is there anything in your life that you can't imagine losing for weeks? And it's funny that when I said that, I looked over here at Nate, and I'm thinking Jackson's going to be gone for a little while. That's harsh. Can you imagine? Some people feel towards these things, the anxiety that we would have as a parent whenever our child's away from us. Luckily, today in time, we have Facebook where you can talk to them and get on the screen and all. But do you plan your life around the ability to get or use something? Are there areas in your life that are suffering, either amongst family, friends, career, finances, health, because of certain behaviors? Is there a certain behavior that you have that is preventing you from growing in Christ? Do the thoughts of a certain item or action or person consume you more and bring more pleasure than thoughts about God? What are we putting in front of God? Is there anything that you do that may waste time and money? Is there anything in your life that you keep hidden from others? Is there anything in your life that leaves you anxious, guilty, empty, Because you still desire more of it. When we're grumpy, depressed, scared, bored, stressed, irritable, what's the first place we turn to? Is it to God? Or is it to medicines? Is it to any other of these addictions? Some people eat when they're depressed. Some people eat when they're hungry. Some people eat when they're bored. You can see how certain things can control people's lives. So what or whom do you trust for comfort and protection in your life? Is it Jesus? Is it God? What do you trust for adventure and satisfaction? Who do you look for? How about purpose in this life? Is it your job that you look for purpose in this life? The things that you have? Money? How about pleasure? Is it sports? Is it entertainment? Is it TV? Social media? So not all the things that we can be addicted to are necessarily evil, but if God's not at the top, we have an issue. We're worshiping an idol, something other than God. And the list can continue. If you've ever lived around or with an alcoholic, or you can't get a kid away from playing Minecraft, that might be showing my age. It may be some other games that play now. Or you're married to a compulsive shopper. You know how much one's addiction can cause a negative effect on the family, on relationships. The physical consequences of our own addictions. And I had a slide presentation I was going to show, and then I thought better of it, that shows pictures of normal people and then shows after only 9 or 10 years of using methamphetamines. And I kind of felt it was a little too graphic. But for you adults and parents, look it up. You can find them on the internet. And then you'll find the right time to sit down with your young child and your teenager to show them. This is what can happen whenever you get mixed in with some of these things. I think it's important that those things come from parents, not schools. So the initial problem with addiction is idolatry. We make that our idol. We put it in front of God. Paul makes this very clear in Colossians 3, verse 5, when he says, greed, which amounts to idolatry. And addictions are greed. You're wanting something rather than God or ahead of God. Addictions are the lust to satisfy passions with those idols outside of Christ. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, says, you know with a certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. God is our all-sufficient creator and provider. In the first of the Ten Commandments, he says, you shall have no other gods before me. In Exodus 20, verse 3. But with addictions, we're revealing the fact that there are things in our life that we're allowing to be placed in front of our God. Another problem of that sinful nature, services, and it's a cost that we don't really consider sometimes, there's a disappointment and distress in our life. As a result, we choose to deal with that distress with this agent. Whatever this is, could be a multiple of things. You may look at that list and think, oh, whew, I don't want to keep looking up there. But a lot of people turn towards these things because they have a promise of a quick turnaround to get high, to satisfy their longings, their needs. And they do it in a quicker time frame than having to live that life as a Christian, to turn towards God, knowing that in the future we have that hope of eternal life in heaven, but not realizing the blessings that we have here while we're on earth. The fact that we even have an earth, the fact that we have a life, the fact that we have air to breathe, the fact that we live in the country that we live in, at least for this congregation. So many blessings that we have. But we allow these idols to master us and bring us deeper into their bondage. And eventually we find ourselves unable to even break free. In Psalms 119, 133, the psalmist prayed, "Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me." This is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12 that we read, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." There are things that we can do to enjoy life. But we don't let them master us. We don't let them take the place of Christ and God. It can be a debilitating sin. It can stifle our life. It can dishonor our family, but most of all, it will dishonor the Lord and prevent us from becoming what God wants us to do, to overcome. He wants us so much and so dearly to overcome our issues. And we need to come into line with the Scripture. Sin loves to hide. It hates the light. Yet the light of God's Word exposes our sin and convicts us. The sword of the Spirit has got to be allowed to carve away those issues that we have, the many layers of issues we may have, the deception, the lies. The light of God's Word beckons us to live for truth in our desire to forsake the wiles of the devil, to forsake Satan, the father of lies. And we forsake him for who? So that we may have God, who is truth. And it's being honest with ourselves, admitting that we may have a problem, and that we do have a problem, and confessing that that problem has led to sin against the Lord. And if we don't confess those and repent of those, where's our hope in moving forward? We need to flee that sin. We hear that a lot. But there's much more than to just saying no. It's more than just human willpower and moral resolve. Don't get me wrong. We need that. You need willpower and resolve. But if you depend on the world's best tactics, the world's best programs and ideas, and you search the internet, how do I do that? How do I get this? How can I get help? And you get the world's best advice, you're bound to fail, because it needs to be based on God and His Word. In Titus 2, verse 11, we hear that the grace of God appeared For those of us in Christ Jesus, our power is a power beyond any human resources that we can deal with. The power that we have from the Holy Spirit that dwells within us is the grace of God that has appeared, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. In Titus chapter 2, continuing into verse 12. So his grace instructs us, God's grace instructs us who we are, and God's grace empowers us to be like him. He wants us to be like him. Produce fruit. Living fruit, as we see there in Titus 2:12. Sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Galatians chapter 5 says this fruit of the Spirit includes a concept called self-control. Galatians 5:23. It's the empowerment that we need, to realize that we have. With God on our side, who can stand against us? Many people that sin will tell you they're not happy with their behavior. They're embarrassed. And they know that the effects that it has on their family, on themselves. And many times when they get caught, I'll never do it again. But have you ever sat down at a Thanksgiving dinner and ate so much that you sat back and you said, I am never going to look at food again? Next morning at breakfast, where you at? And that's some of the feeling that you can see that people that are addicted can feel. They don't want to do it, but yet they've let themselves get to the point to where they feel like they have to do it. And it could be one or many of these things. And as I stated a few times already, too many times we try to battle these things without the Lord, but we have to depend on Him. We understand this. We have to have God's strength, and He gives it freely. It's our own self-serving attitude that gets us in trouble. But it's that surrender to Christ that gets us out. That makes us to where we are no longer a slave to sin, but now a slave to righteousness, as we see in Romans 6:16. We can be set free from serving dead idols and serve the living God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. Being in Christ is most satisfying. And it should be the most satisfying thing that we have in our life. But too many times Christians adopt the let it go and let God handle it. Let Him deal with it. Jesus take the wheel mentality. And that's good and fine. We want Him to be the one handling things for us. But He expects us to jump in the battle and do our part as a Christian to fight. Expects us to be there and engage ourselves in spiritual warfare. We can't sit back and let others do it all. So we understand whatever's going to win our affections in this life is going to win the battle. They're going to win control of our lives. And so we need to make sure that we allow God to have control of our lives and win our affections. And each and every day, not just on Sunday, whenever we come together, each and every day when we wake up, you should be thankful for everything we have And most of all, that we have that hope of eternal life after this short, short, short life on earth is over. The greatest needs of our hearts are met not by any of these things, not by family, but through Him. So every second of the day, who's our master? Who are we going to choose to worship? Is it going to be false idols or the living God? We need to make sure that we are reconciled to God, that we meditate on God's word, and that we deny ungodliness, and not only deny ungodliness, but cultivate godliness. Do everything we can to avoid tempting situations. And be transparent in our confessions. Be transparent to God. Be transparent to others. And most of all, pray. We can overcome. In Revelation 3:21, and before I start into this here, everybody go ahead and grab your songbooks. To number 333. Can't read it there, but I've got it marked. 333. And be prepared for that. But Jesus says something that's really incredible in Revelation 3:21. It says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father at his throne." That's just wonderful. Just awesome. It's just incredible that we have that promise. And as we go through our lives, we have to remember that we're here to do God's will. Not our will, but God's will. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to pray. And we need to remember that God's grace is there to help in the time of need. We need to use the word of the Lord as a weapon against any kind of foe, any kind of issues. And how do we do that? Well, any soldier will tell you, you learn your weapon in and out before you go into battle. So we need the knowledge of God's word. So study, study, study. And then when you're through studying, study some more. And know your weapon that you can use against sin. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Revelation 3:21. If there's anything we can do to help anybody at this time, please come forward as we stand and sing.